if that's the correct title or if it's some iteration of that. So, I had the opportunity to think a little bit this week as I was preparing, about how there are really two different dimensions that title itself evokes or implies that are relevant to our discussion today. Sort of in general, we're living in very historic times. Normally it takes a lot of perspective, time have passed, to appreciate that you're at a kind of an inflection point, but I don't think what's been going on right now over the last number of years really requires that kind of perspective. It's an exception. We understand that we're living through momentous events that are changing the nature of society around us. And so it's with a lot of humility that we have to approach sort of, detailing these kinds of contemporary challenges, because society is really undergoing such massive changes. I know this, reference point may not be so meaningful to this particular group, just this week, since, last Erev Shabbos, well over five times the number of people who passed away on 9/11 passed away of the virus, and it's not even at the front of our minds anymore. So that just is one way of documenting how rapidly things are changing around us, and undoubtedly how that impacts us. Secondly, in terms of moving targets, the rabbinate is very much changing. I wanted to actually give the shiur that I want to give. And I think we'll spend like the first 45 minutes just learning together, which is really the best way for me to express myself in honor of Rabbi Charlap. I know people here may or may not have heard of Rabbi Charlap. Rabbi Zvulun Charlap was for many years the Dean of Reitz. And he was also my first rabbi. And Rabbi Charlap is very special for many different reasons, enormous Talmud Chacham and a very erudite human being, extremely knowledgeable. My Rebbe, Rabbi Rothwax, referred to this. Rav Rosenzweig would always like to comment to me about how these intangibles that go into being a Talmud Chacham. So I'm here, first of all, to try to be Marbitz Torah in a very halting way. I'm here also because I feel so indebted to Rabbi Rothwax. Also here because I wanted to speak a little bit about Rabbi Charlap, not just because he deserves it, but because I think it's actually very relevant to this point of introduction that I'm making, is that Rabbi Charlap to me was really a paragon of the old rabbinate. And the new rabbinate is a much more professionalized rabbinate, and there's enormous amount that's gained from that. All of the boundaries that you guys are learning about are extremely important, and there's much to be gained. But as any wise person knows, nothing is free in life, and there's also much that's lost with that. And the old rabbinate that didn't have these kinds of boundaries, in many ways was compromised by that, but in also many ways was elevated by that, this kind of open door rabbinate that isn't so much a part of our 21st century vernacular anymore. But it should not be dismissed, and it should not be derided. And there, I guess, a good metaphor or microcosm for, the changing rabbinate is about 5 years before the rabbinate changed, shul structures changed. When I was a kid, maybe some of you remember this, maybe you don't, we used to walk into shul any day of the week at any time. And what happened to shuls was that security needs required us to make structural changes to the building. And the cost that we pay for that is sometimes somebody doesn't know the code, somebody can't get in, and people miss minyanim and they come late. But that's a cost that we understand we need to pay for security. So first it happened to the buildings, and now it's happening to the rabbinate, where certain walls are going up, maybe because they need to go up. But there's a price that you pay for that also. Rabbi Charlap is like a kind of a paragon, like I say, of the previous generation of the rabbinate, or Rabbi Rothwax's father-in-law. He should be, well, another kind of a paragon of that kind of a rabbinate. And one of the reasons I'm so grateful that Rabbi Rothwax is the one who's in charge of your education is that my hope is that he'll preserve the best of the old and synthesize that with the critical elements of the new. I think that's sort of the daunting task of somebody in Rabbi Rothwax's position, but there's nobody better positioned than he is to do it and to help you guys appreciate all of the best parts of the old rabbinate. So speaking of Rabbi Charlap, just wanted to begin with a little bit of a vignette. Like I mentioned, he was my first rabbi. My parents were residents at Montefiore, which was then a part of Weinstein, which was then a part of Yeshiva University. It's kind of, you know, different structure nowadays. And my older brother, I have a brother who's like 13 months older than I, we used to go to shul with my father every Shabbos morning. Even though I was extremely young, Rabbi Charlap had an enormous impact on me as a 3 and 4 year old boy, the way that he carried himself. So I was actually reminiscing about this relatively recently with my father, about the different people, you know, who were there, many of whom I know because those are really my parents' best friends to this day, all the people who are in residency with them, a lot of couples who happen to be physicians, some of whom relocated to Teaneck about the time my parents did in the 80s when they left the Bronx. I was talking with my dad a little bit about who was there, and it's very interesting. A lot of those doctors became our shul's medical consultants over COVID, and very involved in keeping the Teaneck Bergenfield mikvah open. So a lot of things came out of that. But so my father mentioned to me something which I didn't remember, is that there was somebody who was mentally ill in the shul. The shul was basically these residents, Holocaust survivors who were too old to relocate from the Bronx. The neighborhood had already turned by that point. It wasn't a great neighborhood. And one person I didn't remember that my father reminded me about, who was demonstrably, you know, mentally ill, it was very clear from the way that he dressed and the way that he, but he was very much a part of the minyan, etc. So I asked my father instinctively, oh, you know, how did Rabbi Charlap handle that? And my father responded, you know, like everything else, he said, you know, like he did everything else, as a total mensch. And this was before, you know, there were professional classes about inclusion and, you know, how to deal with people who may be marginalized for different reasons. But there was just a certain kind of warmth and menschlichkeit that was so characteristic of Rabbi Charlap and the generation of the rabbinate that he, like I said, is a unique paragon, but there are others as well. It wasn't too long ago we had Parshas Beshalach and, you know, Elokei Aviv Aromenu Lo Ani Tchilas HaKedusha. We may have different words for it, but we should be cognizant that the way that previous generations handled this also is a great model for us. So, like I say, what I want to try to do is to learn a little bit, maybe till like 12 or so, and then just throw things open, and you guys can ask and discuss, but. I just want to be able to present my thoughts as much as possible through the lens of Torah. I think it's always the best use of time, and it's definitely the best way of distilling any thoughts that I have about this. So I'm going to try to share my screen. Hopefully it'll be effective. If it's not, you know, you'll signal me. Oh, okay. So my host has disabled. Oh, and I'm the co-host. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, I appreciate that. Let's begin with the Mishnah Avos.
That was the first and last time I've ever enabled Rabbi Charlap to be on.
Thank you so much. So the Mishnah Avos tells us the following. Rabbi Lazar Moda, Yomer Mechalos, Akachim, Mevazes, Amodos, Hamalbim, Tnei Chavir, Berabim, Mefer, Brisah, Shal Avram, Avinu, Alav, Ashalom, Megalifon, Ibatora, Shalok, Alocha, Obviously, very strong words. We all know about the severity of Malbin Pnei Chaver or Berabim, about publicly embarrassing, humiliating people. The placement in the Mishnah is really striking, right? It's on a list of five, and the common denominator here, especially of the other four, quite obviously, is a kind of, a mi'ila or a bizoy hakedusha, right? Mechalas hakachim, literally, you know, kachay gavoa, mevazes hamoados. It's interpreted to be cholamoe, but kedusha asazman. Moving ahead to mefer biso shel avram avinu, that's obviously the symbol of kedusha as Yisrael. And then, you know, megalafan batora shelo kalacha is, the kedusha of Torah itself. So right there in the middle, number 3 of 5, but interestingly positioned straight in the middle, is malbin pnei chaveru berabim, which obviously has to do with kedusha sa'adam. or kavod ha'adam, and I guess, you know, that's really what I want to talk about, right? The sanctity of each and every human being. Rabbeinu Yonah very famously comments on, you know, this Mishnah that in his opinion, lehalach, that's not the only place he discusses it, but malbim pnei chaver berabim is, you know, abizrayhu deshvichos damim. It's one of the gimel chamuros. He takes very seriously the idea that a person should be mashlich atzmo toch kiv shanaish. He takes that literally in a halachic sense. You can take a look here. You have a little bit more time, but you know he's very clear that this is Abizrayu, you know, Dishvichas Damim in one of the Gimel Chamuros. I don't think anybody could talk about, you know, Kavod Ha'adam without referring to the Mishnah and Sanhedrin and Ketzad Ma'ayman Esa'edim. I'll just, you know, move ahead to the critical part after we talk about, you know, Kola Ma'abe Nefesh Achas Mi'Israel. Kilu ibeid olam malei, kolam akayim nefesh achas Yisrael, kilu kiyem olam malei. But the, you know, beautiful words, inimitable language at the end of the Mishnah, that, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is different than Basar Vadam. Melech malchei amlachim, Kadosh Baruch Hu, tava kol adam bechosamo shel adam arishon. We all share certain roots, ve'ein echad mehem dome lechavero, and yet everyone is actually unique. Lefikach kol echad ve'echad chayev lomar, Bishvili nivra olam. Everybody has to have a certain sense of self-respect, and of course it's axiomatic that we need to respect each other in a very, very profound way. I think the Yerushalmi that we're all aware of says it's not just ma'abid nefesh achas mi'Yisrael, but the omission of that one word called ma'abid nefesh achas, malin olav kilu ibid olam malei, v'chol mekayim nefesh achas, malin olav kilu kiyim olam malei. This is beyond just the Jewish sphere. It has to do with, you know, Kavod HaAdam writ large and the sanctity, you know, of all human life. And that applies obviously beyond our immediate, you know, fraternity of Klal Yisrael. Though, I would point out, and this is going to be the second section of this year, having established what I think is, you know, so fundamental in terms of Tzalem Elokim and Kavod HaAdam, is this idea of, you know, insiders and outsiders, is really part of the very earliest DNA of what it means to be a member of Klal Yisrael or Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, with a particular emphasis on Avram Avinu. We all know the Bereishis Rabbah, quoted by Rashi, Vayagid LaAvram HaEvri, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kolam Kulo Me'Ever Echad, V'Hu Me'Ever Echad. That Avram Avinu was on one side of the world. He was the ultimate iconoclast. The Rambam gives voice to this, and Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, and the Rambam describes what he thinks is Avram's journey. You know, the Gemara in the Darim Daf Mem, quotes Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, how old was Avram when he was Makir Isbaro, either 3 or 40. The Rambam, our Gersa says 48, the Rambam's Gersa said 40. So the Rambam says both are right. It, you know, he started to wonder about it when he was 3, and, you know, he came to a conclusion at the age of 40, spent, you know, 37 years on his spiritual journey. But he was all alone, right? If you take a look here in the language of the Rambam, I bolded this section, lo hayelo melamed, velo modia davar, elo mushka be'or kastim, min ovde kochavim atipshim, ba'avi v'imo, v'chol am ovde kochavim, ovedi mahem, v'libo mishotet umevin, etc., etc. So the Rambam really gives voice to this idea that Avram was an outsider. Avram was somebody that we know, you know, an ancient Mesopotamian or kastim, was seen as, you know, disruptive and disturbing, you know, probably a nuisance to try to include. And of course, you know, we look to Avram as somebody who's heroic. So just, you know, pointing out the obvious, which is that there may be people that are easy to dismiss as, you know, me'aver echad, as completely, you know, outside of the framework, and we might consider it superficially some kind of a burden to have to deal with these people. But, you know, that would be very ironic given our national roots. And like I say, it really isn't just a, you know, a biographical story about Avraham Avinu, but it's meant to be a part of our halachic DNA. You know, the Gemara Nivamos, very famously, and it's Nifsak LaHalacha by the Rambam, says that when a ger shebalis goyer, person comes to convert, so an intrinsic part of the tahalich hagiur is omrim lo marisa shebaslis goyer, yata yodea sheyisrael bizman hazeh devuyim dechufim zchufin mitorafin yisurin ban aleihem. So you have to tell them that Jews are, you know, outsiders. Jews are not part of the community of the majority. They're not typically accepted. Heinam levadad yishkon. Im omer yode'ani ve'eni kedai mekablin oso miyad. And then, very interestingly, modino to miksas mitzvos kalos, miksas mitzvos chamuros. So the Rambam in Yisurei Bia paskins this lahalacha, keitzer mekablim geri atzedek, shebel echel these gayer min akum, yivduku akarav, velo yimtsu ila, first they have to check for ulterior motives, omrim lo marisa shebasal these gayer, right, iata yodeya shiyisrael bismanazad devuyim, dechufim, misuchafim, miturafim, yisurim bayin aleim, imamarani yodeya, veni kedai, mekablim osam yad. So part of the like litmus test for entry to Klal Yisrael, quite literally, is the idea that a person accepts the identity of an outsider. So before we talk about, you know, intra-Jewish or intra-communal, different classes of individuals, Rabbi Rothweck's put it very sensitively, different groups, however we want to put it, let's first reiterate Kavod HaAdam, the singularity of each and every person. Everybody really does have to be approached in as individual. That was the first section of this year. And secondly, that we should never lose sight that an inextricable part of our national ethos and identity is the idea that we see ourselves very much like Avram was, as me'ever echad, as outsiders in general. And so we shouldn't think, you know, oh, I'm a part of the community, quote unquote, with a capital C, and this person is, you know, marginalized in whatever sense. And so, you know, on the contrary, our national perception should be that of outsiders to a great extent. And when somebody wants to join, you know, we don't have to be mekachtos. Certainly, this is a way of getting at how committed they are. I'm not denying that. But I also think it tells us something about ourselves and our self-perception. This week's parsha probably makes the strongest and, most forceful articulation of the idea that our national experience, of course, as outsiders, needs to sensitize us to the plight of those who are otherwise marginalized. I'd like to discuss this from a halachic vantage point. I'll just make an observation of the 53 mitzvos that the Chinuch enumerates in Mishpatim and, you know, Im Kesef Tal Ve'Es Amib, let's consider it Parshas Mishpatim writ large. The only ones that are actually repeated have to do with the Ger. First we have the Ger Lo Son of Lo Sil Chatzen, the psukim that I'll talk about. Then the Torah comes back to that. Atem Yadatim Es Nefesh Ager. This is a beautiful expression. Ki Gerim Heyisem Beretz Mitzrayim. That repetition itself, I think, is very striking. So in any event, the Torah says, in psukim that you're all, you know, intimately familiar with, v'ger lo son ev lo sol chatzenu, ki gerim eyisem beretz Mitzrayim, ev the yisr da raisa, kol al manavi asom lo sanun, right? These are paradigmatic individuals, who may be marginalized. Imane sane oso, im kim tzok yitzake lai shamo ashma tzakaso, so the Chumras Havera is very clear from the Psukim, the onesh that's affiliated with taking advantage or being insensitive to the Almana and the Yasom. This is the only time the Torah ever uses this kind of language. It's meant to literally, you know, put the fear of Hashem into us. Rashi takes the position, and this is the halachic analysis that I just want to engage in with you for a little bit. Rashi says, "Hu adin l'chol adam el shdibra katzabahova l'fi shem tishushe koach v'davar matzo ela nosam." So Rashi takes the position that, you know, almana and yasam are kind of paradigmatic, but of course, you know, this applies to all people. The Rambam, there's much more of a controversy about his position on this topic. I'll tell you what my view is in a few minutes, but the Rambam in Deos in Perek Vav tells us the following: Chayavadim lizar b'yisamim b'almanos v'pneishan nafshan shvela l'maod v'rucham nemucha avol b'shein bale mamon. It has nothing to do with how much money they have in the bank, but emotionally they're extremely vulnerable. Afilu almanus shal melech v'yisomav muzharin anu aleim shenemra kol mena v'yasam lo sanun v'yach noag in imayim. Lo yidaber aleim elarakos, we have to speak very gently with them. Velo yinog behelan mina kavod. Velo yachiv gufam bevode veliba midvarim kashim. Veyachos hamamonam yosrim mamonatzmo. Kol maknitan o machisan o hichiv lahem o rada behem o ibed mamonam. Hareza over below sase. Vechol shekein amakos hamamakalulan. So it applies to the way that we treat their finances and certainly the way that we treat their persons and their emotional well-being. Hamakalulan. Velav zafo bishen lokin aleya lokin alav. Right, it's interesting. The Rambam categorically defines it as a lav, you know, she'ein bo maisa. Apparently, right, ein lokin a lav. You know, you could be through, you know, klala, etc. We like to say, in light of Rosenzweig's approach to, you know, lo sach mode, where the Ravid takes issue with the Rambam's classification as a lav she'ein bo maisa. Right, the mechayiv is developing the obsession. Here, I would say the mechayiv is the insensitivity itself. It'd be my approach to the absence of malchus. But in any event, hari anshom befurash b'tora v'charapi. There's a much more draconian punishment that one deserves for taking advantage of a yasam and almana. Bris karas lamishamar v'haya olam shekolzman shem tzokin mechamas himnanim shenemar kim tzok yitzak elai shemo eshmat tzakaso. And the Rambam has a fascinating conclusion here. B'medvar memur is man shino sam tzarech atzmo. If a person is just being callous. Aval ino sam harav kidei lamdan toru manos ol alichan v'derech yishara reza mutar.
So if the reason that a person is sort of pushing a yasom, let's say, is because you don't want to treat them as damaged goods, but you want to show them that they're capable of maybe more than they think that they are, right? Or that you don't want them to develop a sense of victimhood, which would be unhealthy for the long-term development. Of course, that is permissible, but it's this extremely delicate balance. There's a dialectic here the Rambam is talking about. There should still be a difference. Yasalam hefresh v'inalim b'nachas. It's very interesting, because it's apropos, exactly almost a year ago, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Rabbi Rothrocks and I were together at a very tragic funeral, actually in the snow, on an Erev Shabbos, involving Yisomim. And this is exactly the point that Rabbi Rothrocks made in his Hesped. The words were, you know, you're stronger than you think you are. Which is very appropriate to what the Rambam is trying to say. You know, you have to strike a balance here and never treat people as damaged goods, but at the same time understand the sensitivity. All right, so this is what the Rambam has to say. There's clearly an element here of alach to bedrachav, echad yasom me'av, echad yasom me'em, and then the Rambam says, arima sani kram yasomim linyan zeh, so it's exactly what you would think it is. It's not like, okay, you stop being a yasam at 15 or 17. You can't quantify it. Every person develops in a different way. This too is the Rambam's way of getting at, you know, the individuality of each of these. You can't just think about them as a class, right? Each yasam has his own story, or her own story. So anyway, the Minchas Chinuch takes a position here. He wasn't alone. You'll see the Avodas HaMelech thinks the same thing. So he quotes Rashi Alatari, Neidas Rashi B'chumish, Lav Davki Yisomim V'almana, Hu Adin L'chol Adam, El Shadibar HaKasav Behove, L'fi Shem Tishu Shekoach, excuse me, Divrei HaRam, Be'Rav HaMechaber, he thinks it's true of the Chinuch as well, Nira the Davki Yisomim V'almanos, so he thinks that it's actually unique to Yisomim V'almanos, okay, but you wouldn't extend it beyond that category. The Avodas HaMelech had the same idea. This is, of course, Reb Nachum Krakovsky. He was successor of the Aruch HaShulchan as the Rav of Nevarduk, and then a chaver of Reb Chaim Ozer in Vilna a number of years later. So he says the following about the Rambam. Aval midvarav kan, of sefer mitzvos lo sase reish nanav, mashma desfirle de Rebbe Kiva palagal Rebbe Shmuel, v'almana v'yasam shadarkam lanos, mipnei shenafshin shveila rucha nemucha ma'od, bohen dibir akasa v'lo b'shar kol adam. V'chein mashma mishitas haramban, we'll get to the Ramban a little bit, Umuchach the Raka Layukai, Uvisma Kasim Avbi Shapirish Rashi Odin the Choladam, Dibra Kasim Hova, the Vishin Chuke Koach, the Dover Matsoy Lanosan, Mikol Makam, and Yomer, Shetava Salman of Yasim, Nea Bris Krusalahem, Shakos Man, Shayud Hain Soakin, Amaneim Hain Naanin. They have a unique covenant with God that God will answer their cries. Vena Chrabidvar Melo, Ich Daito Bishar Koladam, so it's hard to tell, Ukvarichu, Rabusin, Achronim Baze, Ain kan makom l'harich yoser. So I guess, you know, the Avodas HaMelech is mitzadeid in the direction of Minchas Chinuch that the Rambam thought it was only applicable to Alman of Yasam against Rashi that, you know, we could expand from there. I think the case is pretty strong for the Ramban. The Ramban challenges the Rambam. He thinks that it's not just one lav, but two distinct lavin. Just very briefly, this is the Asagos of the Ramban, this is the 14th source. When Yomer Shafilu Nosar Dasarav, Nomer Shalav Shabicholos, Lo Yimanu Prata, Velachas, Velaka, Nomer Shulav Prati, Yimanu Shtayim, Share, Chilkan Akasav, Be'amaro, Yimanetanoso. That the use of the Lashon Yachid in the next Pasuk proves that Almana and Yasom are different Shemos, Lavin. They're not part of one Lav. Okay, so anyway, the Minchas Chinuch and the Avodas HaMelech think that the Rambam really thought that the Isser only applied to Alman and Yasom contra Rashi, and they affiliate Rambam's view with that of the Ramban. The Ramban clearly thinks, you know, if Alman and Yasom are different Isurim, right, it would be hard to expand from there. Lefina Yistaiti, it's not the case. I think the Rambam, if you look in the Koseres, makes it pretty clear that Alman and Yasom are paradigmatic. I think the Rambam actually had a third Shita. So Rashi said, Hu Adin L'Chol Adam. I think the Ramban is saying, no, it's dafka the almana, dafka the yasum. You see that because the Ramban counts them as two distinct lavin. What does the Rambam say in the Koseres? Shelo lanos umlalim. That we shouldn't take advantage of an umlal, somebody who is, let's say, vulnerable or suffering. Right? Why does he say umlal? And why not just say, you know, yasum and almana? So it seems to me that what the Rambam meant to say, and this is exactly the Nekudas HaMachlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, that's why the Ramban thought it was two different lavin. I think what the Rambam gets from counting Almana and Yasom as one is that it's the same Mechayiv, and I would tie this back to what I pointed out before, to Lav Shein Bo Maisa, even if you happen to do a Maisa, like you hit a Yasom or an Almana, whereas the Mechayiv is insensitivity to people who are vulnerable. And I think that's a very important point, Lehalacha, that the Issa D'Araisa applies to all umlalim. So, you know, paradigmatically, so this is a little different than Rashi. Rashi would say, Hu adin l'chol adam, and the Ramban would say, no, Yasam is its own shame love, and Alman is its own shame love. I think the Rambam would tell you in the middle. It's not Hu adin l'chol adam, but it's Hu adin l'chol umlal. And that's really what Rabbi Rothweck's, you know, will be, and Dr. Blumenthal will be talking about, you know, the various categories. With a lot of respect for what we talked about before, that no yasom is exactly the same as another yasom, and no single is the same as another single, and no divorcee, we have to recognize that. But these umlalim, I think for the Rambam, that's the Yisr D'Oraisa. So again, a little different than the Minchas Chinuch and the Avodas HaMelech. I would not affiliate Rambam with either Rashi or the Ramban. I think it really is a unique shita in this respect. But what I think that in some ways, Rambam and the Ramban came to similar places, which is that the Rambam wanted to point out that they're extremely close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and oppression of these people is a failure to recognize that where somebody suffers, Hashem is very close, right? Imo anochi b'tzara, b'chol tzara sam lo tzar. And that's the beautiful essay that the Ramban has in this week's parasha. Kigeir me'yisem b'eretz Mitzrayim. So first he quotes Rashi, Perish Rashi, Tamalo Sonu Oso, Yazir Shalosono Sabanas Varim, Shimhoniso, Af Huyachal Anoscha, you know, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Velomer Lachafata, Migerim Bata, Mumshabachal, Tomer Lachavercha, Nibin Ezra said what he said. And the Ramban says, neither nor. Kedarko Bakodesh, Renachon Vena Kiyomer, Losena Gerlo Sochatzeno, Vetechashu Shainlo Matil Miyatcha. What does it mean, Kegirim Hayisem Beretz Mitzrayim? It means, Akadish Baruchu, let the Egyptians have it because they took advantage of you when you were weak. Vulnerable peoples, and I think it's true for the Ramban, the Alman and the Yasum were particular. But Allah yivtachu. V'pasach achar hosiv tam v'atem yidatim is nefesh agir. The Ramban notes that this is repeated in Mishpatim. Ki ger me'yisem eretz Mitzrayim. Yidatim ki kol ger nafsho shfeil alav v'unenach v'tsoek v'enav tamid al Hashem v'yirachim alav kasher richem aleichem. So what does it mean, ki ger me'yisem eretz Mitzrayim? Is that you should know very well that if you're going to take advantage of this people, Hashem's response will not be slow in coming. V'atam ki ata lochetz otav mipnei she'en lo mashiyom yadcha. You think that this person can be taken advantage of. Think again, Adarabba, Hineu Nezar Yoser Mikol Adam. Right? This person has a greater advocate than any others. Kishar Nashem Yitrichu Achrei Moshiim, Sheyushiim Vachrei Ozrim, Linkom Nikmasam, they'll look for human help. Vulailo Yoilu, Vatselo Yatzilu, Vizebetza Chaso Bovad, Noshab Hashem Yinkom Mimcha. They have Hashem close by, or the last line of the Ramban, he puts it in such beautiful language. Sheishlam Goel Chazak, Vakar of Yoser, Mikol Adam Afkan Amar Kibitzaka So Bilvad Yivashaya. So the point is, where people are suffering, Hashem is very close by. You have the same impression, not with respect to Almana and Yasom, but different kind of people who suffer. People who are infirmed or ill. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Beis tells us that Minayish Kadosh Baruch Hu Soed Es Achola Shenemar Hashem Yisadenu Al Eretz Davai Tanin Lihachin Nichnas Levaker Es Achola. Lo yeshev al gabe mita, lo gabe kisel, mis atef. Anytime you see atifa, right, in halacha, you know, whether it's atifa sadayanim or atifa that we do in Kabbalah Shabbos or tefillah la'anikiyatov, it's because there's a hashra as hashchina. So why are we mis atef in bikur cholim, even if this halacha is not practiced anymore? It's because there's shchina is right there. Sheshchina lemalim irashosav shalchola. The Rambam paskins it in Hilchos Avel, nichnas levaker zecholah, lo yeshev al gabe mita, lo gabe kisei, lo gabe safsal. Is a siman muvhak that you're in the presence of the Shekhinah. So what we have to be conscious of is that when we're dealing with what the Rambam calls umlalim, and for the Ramban, you know, in particular the Alman and the Yasom in his halachic analysis, but it's true of the Chola as well, and you know, categorically it's true. When we're dealing with individuals who are very vulnerable, Hashem is very close by. And so that has implications, obviously, l'chumra, in terms of taking advantage, chalila, of such people, but it also has implications of just how profound a spiritual an opportunity it is for all of you, who will hopefully spend a lot of time, as Rabbanim, dealing with people who are umlalim, and hopefully, and I'm sure you will, be sensitized to the fact that when you're in their presence, you really are in the presence of the Shekhinah. And that has many implications. I just wanted to, conclude before opening it up for some discussion with some words from the Ramban again. Those who know me know that this is not an anomaly. To conclude with a Gemara in Moed Katan. So, you know, there's this... I guess it's a rather pallid joke by now, but everybody knows that, you know, this like famous story if somebody wanted to know what the job of a rabbi is. So they went to the Aruch HaShulchan, he said it's to Pasch and Shilas, and they went to Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim said it's to do Chesed, you know, which I think, you know, is very important. Then the story gets told in different ways, but you know, the way that I heard it when I was in Smicha, so I'll tell it, you know, according to the Nusach that is my Kabbalah. They went to the Ragged Shaver and he said, you know, it's Taka, a good question. So you have to think about it. So in any event, it's actually the Ramban twice answers the question, once in Shmos and once in Parshas Devarim. So, you know, you have a Rishon who's already addressed the issue. So Ramban famously says, you know, that Yisrael asked Moshe what exactly he was doing. And Moshe said that he does three things, right? So Moshe says, you know, Ki avo ilai ha'am li drosh shalokim, I'm a pastor. They have problems. Heshev Moshe lechos no, tzrichem hem sheyamdo lai zman gadol min hayom, ledvarim rabim bayam lefanai. Three, exactly. Ki avo ilai ha'am li drosh shalokim, lispalol cholayim, ladia ma sheyovad lahem, ki zeh yikra drisha shalokim. Okay, what we would call pastoral matters. I'm here to do chesed. Sir Chaim was correct. Right, so the Aruch HaShulchan was correct. I have to pass in Shilas. And I give shiurim, I teach Torah. So I've always, you know, maintained that the Ramban was correct, that there are basically three different aspects of the job. Now, the Chiddush of Yisro, as the Ramban explains it, is that one of them can be delegated to an extent. Chesed cannot be delegated. Talmud Torah cannot be delegated. That's where you have to have an absolutely personal relationship. Lo mikol adam, adam zo chalil mod, and they need you when they're in times of distress, and they need you to be building a relationship with them in better times so that you can actually be there for them in times of distress. The one thing that can be delegated is certain kinds of shilas. And, you know, that was true of Moshe and the Dayanim in its own way, and that's true to a certain extent today. You know, you don't necessarily have to be the one to answer every Yalo V'Yavo Shaila. Obviously, there are questions that are going to require your personal input. But I think this is a really good model to think about. In other words, when it comes to Chesed, Yisro recognized instinctively and immediately that that was not subject to delegation. That really required a deep relationship. And I think that's a good way of tying together some of the ideas that we spoke about. Hopefully, it's your relationship with the person and your just irreplaceable knowledge of the details of their lives, of what makes this Yasom different than that Yasoma, this Almana different than that Almana, this Ani different than that Aniya, v'chulei, that will make your contribution indispensable. Yisro, to his enormous credit, just instinctively understood that that had to be true. Ashila, you know, sometimes has many specific dimensions, and other times it's just more objective or empirical in nature. Okay, so I think that's something good for everybody here to be aware of, you know, this Ramban and this approach to Rabbanus and the threefold responsibility. Limud HaTorah can't be delegated and Chesed can't be delegated. And sometimes, you know, Piskei Halacha, sometimes they can be. I just wanted to conclude with the Gemara Mod Katan. It's just been on my mind a lot recently. There's kind of a personal dimension to this as well. I guess maybe I'll tell the story and then read the Gemara and I guess conclude conclude with this and then just open it up for some conversation either about these Makoros or what we had to say about the Rambam and Umlal or just to talk more broadly. So when I was a very little boy, I used to go with my grandmother, Allah Shalom. The story is my grandmother's mother, my Babi, my great grandmother, suffered from Alzheimer's at the end of her life. And my grandmother took care of her in the house. It was very, very complicated because of the nature of the Alzheimer's, which was not a simple case of Alzheimer's. And so my grandmother had this dream of building like an assisted living facility that she could have theoretically put her mother into, that, had kashrus and Shabbos and wonderful programming. And she did. After my great-grandmother passed away, she built this assisted living facility. So like my earliest memories are spending a lot of time with my grandmother taking care of these older people. That was like my first rabbinic experience, right around the time that I was under the tutelage of Rabbi Charlap, I have to say. So, my grandmother used to have me do all these like Hanukkah shows and model siddurim, and it was very meaningful. So there was this beauty parlor in the assisted living facility. So, and my grandmother used to like come in the morning and she would rattle off the name of like 15 residents, women, I believe 99% of them were Holocaust survivors at the time, who needed to go to the beauty parlor. Like she tried to do it once a week. So I was like four. So I said to my grandmother, Grandma, like, why do they have to go to the beauty parlor? Where are they going? They weren't going anywhere. At most, what they would do is they would sit in the courtyard outside the rooms and listen to music being played, or in this case, me singing Hanukkah songs or whatever. So my grandmother, the way that she taught is she didn't try to explain things. She just used to take your hand and like pat it, and then she would move on. So that was her way of saying you'll understand one day what dignity means. So anyway, the Gemara Mod Katan makes the same point that my grandmother of blessed memory made. So the divisor de Reb Chista mekashta ban pei kalasa. So Reb Chista's wife was the sugya here is obviously Chol HaMoed and women, taking care of their cosmetics on Chol HaMoed. And is it a symbol of Chesed Yod? Is it Letzarech HaRabim? Is it, Letzarech HaMoed? Is it Davar HaAvad? So what category does it belong to, right? So the Gemara is trying to figure out, women doing cosmetics on Chol HaMoed. So Yasev Rav Huna Bar Chinan HaKami the Rav Chista V'Yasev HaKamar. This is a little crass that he said it's Rav Chista, considered it was Rav Chista's wife in question. And he says, Lo Shana L'Yalda V'Zakein Alo. Why does she have to put on makeup, right? She's like, not a young woman anymore. So Amar Lai, so Rav Chista was outraged. He says, Ho Elohim, Afilu Imcha V'Afilu Ima Di'imach V'Afilu Omedes Al Kevra. You understand nothing of human dignity. Only a young woman to understand what it means to her and what it means to her self-respect and what it means to her sense of self. You can learn it through the Gemara, you can learn it from your grandmother, it's all good. But the point is that, it's easy to be dismissive, but you have to keep in mind that people deserve respect. And even if it doesn't seem that important to you, it's not a good thing to tell somebody what's important to them and why something should matter to them. And I think that's a good way of bringing this discussion, from a halachic standpoint to a conclusion. I think Chazal had just a remarkable sensitivity and understood that in this case, it was easy for people who were older to feel marginalized, and the battle for self-respect is a very real one. But it applies across the board. And that our goal should be, when we think about different groups of people for whom self-respect might be a little bit more challenging and might have a little bit more to feel less secure about giving them that sense of security,
Like I said, it really is part of our national DNA. We all come from Avraham Avinu, who was totally isolated and all alone. We should have that as part of our sense of national identity. That's part and parcel of Hilchos Giyor, about, Hinam Levadad Yishkon. And hopefully that can translate to how we treat the Yasam, the Almaner, if you accept, my understanding of the Rambam, Umlalim more generally, as in Isser Daraisa, Kol Alman Avi Yasam Lo Sanun, is one shame love, because it really incorporates all of the Umlalim. So thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to come and learn.